gosh. Okay. Fine. So I picked out two pieces this week. There, one is from our parsha, and then the second piece is from next week from the. Oh my goodness, Bris Ben Avisar. You can use that dialect. So okay. Right.
Do you want highlighters?
He'll dig through the whole thing. He's good at that. Okay, so right, the first source, Vani Hineni Mevi as a mabul Maya Mala Arat Lashakes called Basar Asher Bo Ruachai Mitachas Ashamaim Kala Sher Baarat Yigba. Hakimosi as Brisi Itach, Vivasa El Ateva, Ato Vanechav Ishtacho and Shay Vanechav Itach. He's gonna focus on Vakimosi as Brisi, which without looking at his piece, we would just translate as per the English year. I will establish my covenant. I'll uphold the bris that we have with each other. What the details of that bris are, not entirely sure, other than the fact that Noach will live. So what is Noach's end of the deal? Then he starts off and says, V'chol ha-mefarshim, in source 2, ha-mikra chaser, according to all the other mefarshim, there's something missing in the pasuk. Therefore, they each have to go and explain, each person according to their, each mefarish according to their understanding, what exactly the bris was. So the bris here was that the fruit shouldn't rot, and that the rishayim of that generation should not kill Noach. Ibn Ezra says Shelo Yamus b'Mabul, that he should survive the Mabul is the deal, the covenant. Ramban Bris Hakeshus, it refers to the rainbow. These two, I looked at them. What?
That was later, though. The rainbow came later, so why reference
it now? No, you're right. I'm just thinking of why. I mean, sort of the Mabul, though. So
right, sure.
it's just kind of the. Not foreshadowing, but the introduction to the whole story, I guess.
I mean, it also could be that that's where else in the parsha the word bris also appears by the keshet, I think, right? And then therefore, if the word bris also appears, he could just be saying, okay, so where else does bris appear in this parsha?
That could be
what the Ramban is doing.
Right, and from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense. It's not just that the word bris appears by it, but that is very clearly the os bris. That's the sign of this bris that we're referring to. So from that perspective, it makes complete sense. I wasn't sure. I looked at the Ramban very quickly last night. I thought it was the other way around, that the Ramban is saying that he shouldn't die in the Mabul, and Ibn Ezra was saying that it was the Keshet, but that we can look into later.
Saying, don't worry, you know, everything will be kind of okay.
Well, one is in the present, the other one's for future generations going forward. But yeah, the theme is the same, yeah. The Lera'a is referring to the Akedas Yitzchak, Yitzchak Harama, Al-Kiyoma Olam. It refers to the fact that the world will continue. Lerosh, which I don't think is Rabbeinu Asher. I think there's another printing of Ksavu Kabbalah on Oter HaChachma where they say it's Sefer Maaseh Hashem. They don't say who the author is. I looked it up. It's Eliezer Ashkenazi, I think. I don't know how that turns into Rosh exactly. Either way, he says that it's referring to the bris of the Torah, even further on in the future. How he gets that from the Pesukim, I didn't look it up inside. regardless, he kind of gives you the rundown of the different Mepharshim, which he does many times, in short form. So it would be worthwhile to go back to each one and see it in its original form to see if we understand it the same way he did. Uladati ena mikra chaser kolum. I, however, do not agree with any of them. That I don't think anything is missing from the pesukim here. We don't have to fill in any gaps. Inyan bris mevuar b'mikra atzmo. The whole point of this bris is clear in the pesukim. V'zehu amechuvan b'derek klal. This is what the general intention of this pasuk here. And then he's going to go through and break down word by word. Hineni ose itach davar chadashu pela gadol. I'm going to do with you a new thing and a tremendous wonder, which is vehusha teva hakatana meod bekamusa hu lefi erech besikum kalachayus veofos haramashim. This small ark, in contrast to the great number and entirety of all the animals and birds and insects, becholzos tachilosam. Nevertheless, even though it's minuscule in comparison to everything that's supposed to go inside, it will contain them all. He hasn't told us how it's saying this, but that's what Vakimosi Esbrisi is communicating, which, without actually seeing how that works, doesn't make a lot of sense right now. Okay. So he's going to explain it. Vakimosi isn't none of those really seem to have anything to do with an ace, on just looking at the surface value, at least. Now I'm going to explain the words to show how I get that. Shorish kam, the word kam, kuf mem, yishamish gam kemal, his hatshut inyan kamo v'kam sh'on am ba'amecha. Which was kam. Sorry, I thought I heard that. Oh, Hoshea. That there's shaon meaning din, noise, what have you, that there's going to be arguments, is what it sounds like. That, meaning to say the arguments will start. V'kamu sheva shnei ra'av, that there will be the start of 7 years of famine later on with Yosef and Paro. Lo sakum pa'amayim tzara, and that Tzara won't kind of begin twice, and that's from Nahum. as his normal pattern is, he goes through and gives us examples throughout Mikra to support his understanding of Kam. It doesn't mean to get up or to fulfill as it might normally mean. It means to be mechadish. It refers to something new. That's okay. You keep working. V'ken kan v'akimosi inyano echadesh davar ma. The word hakimosi, its meaning here, inyano, I will literally renew, something. Davar ma. Something new is going to happen. Fine, that's v'akimosi. Now, brisi, shor sho bara. Bez reish hay. Migzeres bru lechem ish. Choose, this is from Shmuel Aleph with David and Goliath, that choose for yourselves some men. Shetamu bachru lechemish. It means bechira, to choose. And then going on to the line 8 at the end with the bold, v'tochein horaso al bechiras v'havdalas davar mezulaso liyitron malaso alav. It means choosing something over other things because I'm choosing A because A is better than B for whatever reason. And it's essentially equivalent to the idea of Bechira. The next chunk from lines 10 to 15. He quotes a midrash in Psichta of Eicha Rabti in Simin Chaf Gimel, which, if we had more time, it would be worthwhile to see really inside, because he tries to use this midrash as a proof for his understanding of Bris. But let's just see the opening line of it. Zachor es borecha b'yamei b'chorasecha ad shebechorai seichem kaimos ad shebris kahuna kaimos shenemar, etc., where he sees the midrash equating the word bachar with bris. He says, just as we're choosing the kahuna in these psukim and choosing the levium, etc., so too that means the word bris is equivalent with that. which you could read the Midrash a different way. I don't know if it's the strongest proof. But let's go to line 15 for the sake of time. V'zehu v'zecharti es brisi Yaakov v'af es brisi Yitzchak v'af es brisi Avraham mechuvam b'kulam b'chiri. I remembered not my covenant with Yaakov, but rather my chosen one Yaakov, my chosen one Yitzchak, my chosen one Avraham. And in the parentheses, he says, Mefarshim Yosifu Shem Alashan Hamikra, Ish Brisi O Brisi Asher Im Yaakov. Excuse me, Yosifu Sham Alashan Hamikra. The Mefarshim, in order to get the Pasuk to make sense, have to add onto the Pasuk, just like they're doing here. And you can see consistently his part of his system of operating seems to be that I want the Pasukim to make sense without having to add in words that aren't actually there. That's what he does here. And then at the middle of line 17, let's finish off the parentheses. According to our approach, you don't have to add anything because Brisi doesn't mean covenant here, it means Bechiri. That means my chosen one. V'chen kol davar amuflar amuflag b'inyano letiaso megeder seder tvi'i yikra bris. V'targumo, whatever that word in Yiddish is. It says anything which is muflar, it's kind of chosen, or muflag and separate and distinct from other things, in so much as it is going out of the natural order, fits within the word of bris. V'amuchuvam b'milos v'akimosi is bris itach, is achadesh itach inyan muvchar. I'm gonna cause something to happen. I'm gonna be mechadesh something with you that is very unique.
How is that like different though? Like, I feel like I would understand the pasuk that way. Like, how is that different?
That's how you would have understood brisi.
Like, I'm gonna make a covenant. Like,
so here he's not saying it's making a covenant. I'm going to do...
I'm going to make something new. Like, I'm
not necessarily... Oh, yeah, you're saying something... This covenant is a new thing, is what you're saying.
Like I'm saying what...
Right, so I think his point is that... I mean, what you're saying is true, that I could have understood it that way without him coming and recasting all the words. But then it wouldn't be any different than our normal understanding. I would have just said, "Hakimosius Brisi." We're gonna create this new covenant. He's saying it's not the word "bris" here isn't actually a covenant.
It's just something new.
Yeah, hasn't. Would you that, and that that I think what you're saying is kind of already going over into the second piece that I put on here that there is going to be somewhat of a problem with what he's saying. I think. And part of the problem is it's a little confusing because that's not how we normally understand bris. But if you see in source 3, the Pesukim from later on use this same phrase, Vakamosi is brisi itchem, velo yikareis kol basar od, etc., etc. And the word brisi comes up a number of times. And here, in Yud Aleph, actually, I guess we could go either way, that it's, I did something new with you. I fit all the animals into the ark. Has nothing to do with the covenant. And now going forward, I'm not going to destroy the world. I think it makes more sense to say I'm going to fulfill my end of the deal and not destroy the world. So there, bris means a covenant, and it does throughout those pesukim. So now we have to figure out how do you understand bris two different ways when it's the exact same wording? It's the exact same words, and it's just in two different places. It means completely different things.
Really related to God. He just says, "I'm going to do something new for you." But he doesn't say.
Like
he translates it as just this regular.
Right.
Bahar, but he kind of ignores the fact
that. Yeah, right. Because when he links it into the pasuk of Zecharti as Brisi Yaakov, there it's Bichiri, the one that I've chosen, the one that's God speaking, my chosen one.
Right.
So here it's Brisi is my chosen thing. Right. So, yeah. But I don't know. That could still make sense, though, because it's saying it's my nace. Right. The nace that I am performing. It's not yours, per se. It's... um, Right, and then he just goes out and he reiterates what we saw earlier, so we won't go over that again. And he notes at the end that the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban that this was al derech nes, that everything fit, all the animals fit into the teva. And according to the Safa Kabbalah's understanding of this pasuk, all that's happening right now is he's being told about that nes. Something amazing is going to happen. This is not a tzivoy to enter into the ark at this time. That happens later. So right now, he's just being told, I'm bringing a marble. You're going to be taken care of. Something amazing is going to happen. Right, and then these other psukim, but all of a sudden, Akimosius Brisi goes back to the normal understanding and not, I'm going to...
And over there, he understands it as regular?
He doesn't have a comment over there. I looked.
So the question is, could you take what he says here and say that he would apply that there also? I mean, because you go back to that passage, you don't have the same issue we have here as in trying to figure out what's going on, but maybe he would apply what he said there to there. We just have to figure out how that...
Well, so look at Yud Aleph. I don't know if anything is missing. If we understand it in the normal, the traditional way, do we have to add anything? Vakamosi es brisi. I eat them.
I. But I guess you could say that he's being the Hadesh now, the Keshet, and he's been showing the rainbow, and that's going to become that. He's going to be Hadesh.
But so what's the end of the pasuk then? Velo yikarei es kol basar od mimei ha-mabul.
Right.
That sounds more like the, I'm going to fulfill my end of the deal, right? The covenant that we have. And then he goes on to say, v'yomar alokim zos os habris, etc. as kashti nasati ba'anan, v'zicharti es brisi, asher beini uveinechem. And that, especially, that one especially, I remembered... The nace that I performed, that seems like a stretch versus the covenant asher beini uveinechem, the covenant that we have between us, makes much more sense. And again, I looked to see if he has a comment there. He doesn't, but I knew I'd over break. I was trying to look ahead and just see if what pieces might be interesting to look over during this time slot. So for on Bris Bein HaBasar, where it says, B'yomahu karas Hashem es Avraham bris. So there, obviously, bris doesn't mean nes, it means a covenant. And they kind of seal, they made a covenant. And he's going to go through and explain what a bris means here. Let me just find the best line. If you look at line one, starting from the middle, B'hu lashon breyer the Rashap. Rashap is Shlomo Pappenheim. Yes. It means to choose. V'hu mashe shnei tzadim borim lehem eze davar sheyu shneihem mechoyavim bo bepratus hen kium oshlila. This means when two sides make a decision, they decide on something that will be required of them, be it we have to go be mekayim something, we have to go do something, or we have to abstain from something. An agreement. Chutz min achayuim shekol adam mechoyav lechaveru mitzad ha-musar v'achavra ha-medinit. And this is going above and beyond just basic natural ethics and communal ethics, etc. It's saying we have this agreement. And then go to the last word in line 11. Saying there's a bris is an agreement. It's a covenant. He's not understanding it any differently than we have before, traditionally. In the actual parsha, he doesn't have it yet. But he does. Yeah, sorry. He does have a line here where he clearly understands bris the normal way. Not like his chiddush on our parsha.
There it's mentioned. You know, here it's not in the pasuk, so either you have to add something, like he's saying
to. Right, it doesn't work. The traditional understanding doesn't work. That was the whole problem that prompted his comment.
It's the same exact physiological comment, and it just doesn't make sense that you would think of it one way here, in like the earlier part of the Torah, and then another one.
But that's what he's doing.
Right, I'm saying you could make the argument like, oh, Prita, like a Paratri is that's how he does it regular, but Hatimoti, but he clearly doesn't think that.
Oh, yeah. So I thought the idea of Karas Bris here, it's describing the actual moment where that agreement was made.
Right.
Whereas I don't think we have in the Parsha with Noah the actual moment. It's describing we are going to do and then we did do. And so then those two sections, the words Vakamosi as Brisi means different things. And the only reason he was pushed, exactly what we were saying, the only reason he's pushed to change it in the first one is because it doesn't work otherwise. So let's just finish his line here. Shabris ba'atzma hu shelo yeod mabul v'akrisa hu shiyeh shlilas amabul chiyuv lo reshus. And the actual kind of ceiling is that or what's being mechayev, at least Hashem, I don't know if he describes what's being mechayev Noach, is that there should be no more mabul to destroy the world, and that that's not just Hashem out of the goodness of his ratzon, but rather it's an actual chiyuv on Hashem because of this covenant. Of course, the abris ham Hashem yisbarach mitzad echad, but abrius mitzad sheni.
But isn't like he just said before, like covenant is between two people, so then like if Hashem would want to destroy the world as a result of us not keeping our side, then how would your side still have to be?
So I don't know if he's saying that. He's saying that. That would be us kind of negating the bris at that point. But if we keep our end, then Hashem will also keep his end, which is to not destroy the world through a mabul.
Right, but like when Hashem wants to destroy the world, it's usually because we're not keeping the covenant. And what would like this?
So you're saying what's the point of the bris? Or would it, I don't know if I understand.
I don't know, like, yeah.
What do you mean?
Do we have like a part that we're obligated to produce?
That was going to be the question I was going to leave off with, actually, because he doesn't describe one, and I don't know. I don't know that there's like a beforeish pasuk saying this is your end of the deal. Maybe it's hinted at that. Why did it happen in the first place? Then maybe that's our end of the deal, that we don't do that anymore. Which that'd be the logical, right? But I was going to throw that question out there. right. He doesn't say. He just tells us, "Korsi Abris," those who. On one side you have Hashem, and the rest it's the entirety of creation, and then the Os is the Kashis. Right. So I don't know if I understood what you were saying, but
I get not like what's the point of it. I don't understand how it works between like, two people. And one person's not upholding their end of the deal, then maybe it doesn't the other person do it. That Hashem says, like, when you're not upholding your end of the deal, I'm going to show you a sign that I'm going to keep my side of the deal.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah, he's not saying, he's saying, one second. The keshet is the sign of the bris. But not just vis-a-vis his end, but also our end. I don't remember what the Ramban says. I mean, he describes.
No, like a reminder.
Oh, reminder. Sorry.
Sorry.
Not all of us are Buckies in Ramban. I would love to be, but it's not quite there. Maybe I should be doing Ramban instead of Kesef with Kabbalah. But exactly. That's exactly what it is. Which is fascinating because. When's the last time I saw rainbow? But when's the last time I saw rainbow and thought, oh, am I, you know, living up to my end of the bris?
Like, oh, so pretty. I always think, rainbow stressed me out sometimes. I always think of that. I'm like, oh, that's it. That'll destroy the world, but it's not. But I usually look at it, like, you had said it, of like, it's, we're not upkeeping our end of the deal. And so, therefore, God is like, here's rainbow. Don't forget your end of the deal.
Right, yeah, I don't know if it's so doom and gloom when you see a rainbow.
Right. It could just be.
You guys are just being a little negative about it. Yeah.
Like, that was a nice time.
Yeah. Right. I actually said that yesterday. Like, God was saying, like, remember, we have a deal. Like,
yeah.
Right. But it doesn't necessarily have to be indicative of humanity not keeping their end of the deal. It could just be, like, a general every so often, just like a reminder of.
Except that I'm like, Rasha points out like, that there were generations where there was no rainbow, and then that meant that like, there was something there for helping them keep their end of the deal to the point that
right.
Like, didn't feel.
I definitely understand the idea where I see a rainbow, and that means it's not just a stomp reminder, it's a reminder because I need a reminder,
right.
And I'm not quite doing what I need to be doing.
No, because I don't know, like, I learned, like, because when you see a rainbow, people, like, get really excited when they see a rainbow. Like, I once learned that you're not supposed to tell
people
you saw a rainbow.
Right, that's why I get confused when I see a rainbow. Like, I don't know what am I supposed to look at it? Don't look at it for too long. It, like, say a bracha, but don't look at it for too long. It's very contradictory messages. And so, and now I'm supposed to be afraid and bad things are going to happen. Okay, so, yeah, and he goes on in the highlighted section. I was playing around with the word processor and realized maybe it makes more sense to highlight because then you can really see what we're supposed to focus on. And we can print in color out of OSL. Here he describes there are kind of two categories of bris. One is where you have two sides and they're equals, and the other one is... they're not necessarily equal. The second one, here we have a second. Let's just read through them instead of me trying to summarize them. Hine ufne abris shnayim. There are two different types of bris. Echad shishchayva tadarim zeh lezeh bedvarim shavim. That we have to give equal contributions to the covenant. Ginyan shishchayva amalachim lesayeh zeh et zeh ba'am v'mamon le'es ha-torech. There's going to be a bad example for a number of reasons, but the UN, where you have everyone coming together and we have UN peacekeepers and all this kind of stuff, ignoring the fact that that example doesn't work very well. I don't know what it was like in his time with kings. Did they actually cooperate that much? I guess they did, but fine. There, presumably it will be equals. Vasheni is mashi yischai beatzadam zeh lezeh. Zeba Amba Zeba Mamo and Zeba Achnasas Tuos Le Medina Zeba Achnasas Sechoros Ukitnina His Chayvus Tanayim Shabain Ish La Ishto. Where you have different people contributing different things, but it doesn't seem so much is it different things, but also maybe different amounts of things and different proportions. But that's just part of the covenant. And I say different amounts because of the fact that at least that's true at least between us and Hashem. And the second type is obviously the type that would be between us and God, because that which God gives us, we cannot give to God. And so therefore, we're giving each other, kaviyachal, at least between us and God, different things. We have to fulfill mitzvos, that's our end. And Hashem's end of the covenant is to provide for us good things. And this was the other question I was going to throw out there, which is, this is one of the lines where if I were just going through and learning on my own, I would think, well, okay, I don't know totally what to do with that because we see terrible things happening all the time. We have the Tzadik V'Ra'lo. It's an old flyer. It's okay. So here is he just saying, oh, everything is good. It's a very difficult thing to say, but at the same time, we can all acknowledge good things that happen in our lives, and that maybe it's drawing our attention to, we have our end, it's fulfilling mitzvos, and Hashem's end is providing goodness, b'kol mini tovos, whatever those things are, and it's up to us to actually acknowledge and see them. And then he has a very nice bit here from the Gra, but we'll stop there. Especially how that works vis-a-vis Hashem, who... I'm not even going to try and summarize that. Because he ends up by saying, Ad kan devarav hayakarim. Here are his very rich, beautiful words. So we'll let the Gra speak for himself another time.